On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us.
So Christmas traditions. Sounds like there's a lot of them. Our family has one of my favorite ones. Christmas morning, we eat bacon. And when Nora was little, she's like, "Dad, how come we only ever get two pieces of bacon?" Because there's like six of us in the family. A pound of bacon only goes so far. So we decided you can eat as much bacon as you want. So last year, we bought 6 pounds of bacon. And we got through about half of it. And everybody's like, "Oh, I've had too much bacon." So it's a great tradition with little kids. Now, I'm curious, since we're talking about traditions, how many of you like finished your Christmas shopping like a month ago? Anybody? Oh, I see a bunch of angry faces. You're mad at these people? Don't get upset at them. God just made them different than you. Okay, how many of you would be like, "I'm about to go this afternoon in like 45 minutes and get started my Christmas shopping"? Come on, man. Help me out here. That's where I'm at. Yeah. So when you see me at the mall or Canadian Tire, I'll just say hi. If you don't already have it as part of your Christmas tradition, I want to invite you to our candlelight service. It's at 4 p.m. on Saturday. It is a fun service. We turn off all the lights. We hold candles. We sing Christmas carols. We do a goofy skit. It's very, very fun and interactive. It is amazing to bring neighbors to. It's something that my kids just love because it's a memory of telling the story of who Jesus is, what he did, and how we carry the light of the world with us through him living through us. So come and join us in that Christmas tradition. It's on Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock. Now, if you're new with us, we're in the last part of a 4-part series. Message is called God with Us. And we've been kicking off with this verse. It's in Matthew 1:23, and here's how it reads. "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." What does it mean? God with us. So we're talking about the presence of God in different seasons of life because we experience God in different ways based on what's going on in life around us. So the first week we talked about God in the valleys. We learned this principle that we might enjoy God while we're on the mountaintop, but we experience God in different ways. We know him intimately when we're down in the valley. And 2 weeks ago we talked about God in the wilderness, where our deepest need becomes a gift when they drive us to depend on our God. And last week we talked about God with us in the storms of life, and to never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Now, as we sing Christmas carols this time of year, one of the popular ones is "What Child Is This?" You heard that one? It's kind of an old one. It's about 400 years old. And what I'd like to do is today I'd like to let the Word of God answer that question. What child is this? And as we pause for a few moments, like Wayne said, it's probably the busiest week of the year. Today, I just want to pause and think about God with us. Think about the birth of God's Son, Jesus the Christ. So would you join me for a few minutes and think about this? It's amazing to recognize that here we are, some 2,000 years after his life on earth, and there's millions of people around the world who still claim that Jesus is the Christ, and he allows them to change their lives. And I happen to be one of those people. Jesus, scripture says, is the name above all other names. And you'd have to say Jesus. That's quite a name. Because if you look at our culture around us, you can talk about God all day long, and there's not really any controversy around that. Right? You can turn on the TV and look at some talk show or some news discussion, and you can talk about spirituality, you can talk about God, But as soon as you bring up the name of Jesus, suddenly there's controversy. As soon as Jesus is brought into that conversation, things change. It's because he is the only way to God. Right? The people, they say that he can't be the only way. If God loves everyone, if he's inclusive, there's got to be more ways. But the name of Jesus brings that controversy. There's a lot of attention, still 2,000 years after this guy died, with his name. Scripture says he is the name above all names. And yet often his name is attacked. I mean, think about it. His name is the only name that we really use as a swear word, isn't it? Like someone's working out and they're maybe a guy like Isaac and they're building homes and he pulls out his hammer because the nail's sticking out and he goes to swing it and he hits his thumb. And here's what he says, "Oh Buddha." Okay, no, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe he just says, you know, like, "Mohammed." No, we don't hear that. That's not the way people use their language, because the name of Jesus is something special. And when it's said without love, when it's said in anger, because of its power, it's used as profanity. And that's because Jesus' birth changed everything. Just the birth of Christ. Well, what did it do? When we think about it in history, it cut our calendar in half. There's the before Christ and the after Christ. And yeah, we've renamed them, but we still pick that day, the point in history when he was born, the year of our Lord Jesus. Who is this child? You see, we know God when we're on the mountaintop, and we've met God now in the valley and in the wilderness and in the storms of life. We've got this birth of Jesus idea down, and we understand Jesus who died on the cross. And we've had this key verse every week when we started from Matthew 1. But today I want to look at that same verse, but when it was first written down, 700 years before the one that we read in Matthew. So before we do that, let's learn two words. The first word I want to learn today is a Hebrew word. It's the word hine. Can you say that? Hine. Yeah, I'm not a Hebrew guy, but I had to look it up on Google so they could pronounce it for you, and that's how they pronounced it. Hine. Everybody try it again. Hine. Yeah, the second word I want to teach you today, it's a Greek word. This one's a little bit easier. It's I do. Yeah, everybody say that. Do you take this woman to be your lawful wife? I do. Yeah, thank you. Okay, this is the same word in two different languages. It's the same word, one in Hebrew and one in Greek. And both of them, when they're translated into English, they're either, if you're one of those King James people, it's translated as the word lo or see. And if you're in one of the more modern translations, it's the word behold. Behold. Anytime you see this word in Scripture, what you need to see or what you need to understand when you see hine or I do, then what you're going to learn about right after that is a life-changing, history-changing statement. So behold, check this out. That's what we'd say in modern-day language. It would be like, you better watch this. Or man, you need what I'm about to tell you. Pay attention. Listen up. This is amazing. Behold, hine, I do. And what we're gonna find is immediately after following these words as we read them in Greek or Hebrew, we're going to see a statement about Christ that is life-changing. So let's look at some different pictures of Jesus in the Bible. The first one is 700 years before Jesus is born, and it would be this: behold, Jesus the baby. You can find it in Isaiah 7:14. These words were prophesied about Jesus 700 years before Jesus came around. Here's what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And then the next word, hine. Behold. Therefore, the Lord will give you this sign. Behold. Check this out. Pay attention. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. Now, for us, we've heard that our whole lives, especially if we've grown up in the church. But the listeners of this message, 700 years before Jesus was born, they would have been blown away. Like, are you kidding me? You mean the Savior, the one that we've heard about since Abraham? Like, he will be coming? He's going to be born of a virgin? Like, 700 years? Check this out. Before his historical birth, Jesus is prophesied. It is foretold that he would come and is going to be a miracle. Now, childbirth is a miracle. I've got four girls, and I was there when each of them were born. Lisa made me come. And I understand that it's a miracle. Like, that's pretty amazing stuff that God is doing when a kid is born. But Jesus is a notch above anything else that's even possible, right? It was a miracle birth. This little teenage girl who'd never been with a man, who's a virgin, and an angel tells her the message, right? Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And Mary, full of faith, she replies, like, I am the Lord's servant. Like, this is already miracle kind of stuff happening. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the Holy Spirit comes and does this miracle, and she gives birth to this child and puts him in a manger and probably a cave and a shelter with animals and wrapped him tightly, swaddled in strips of cloth. And this is miracle stuff, and we've heard it, so we don't get, you know, the same oohs and ahs. But thinking about its details, I don't know if you know what those cloths were used for. You know the ones that she wrapped the baby Jesus in? They were actually cloths that were used for baby lambs without blemish to be the atonement sacrifice in the temple. And those cloths were also used to bury dead people. And as you see, when Jesus is born, it's this picture of Emmanuel, of God with us, born to die for the sins of the world, the sins of each one of us. Behold, the virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to Emmanuel, God with us. Behold, Jesus the baby. Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us. Right? Say it with me. For unto us a child is born. We wrote up there. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And if you know the rest, and his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Behold, check this out. Hear the news. Christ the child will be born. Behold, Jesus the baby. But Jesus didn't stay there. It's cute to see the little baby and the innocence and claim him to be God. But another picture of Jesus that I want us to look at is Jesus, the Lamb of God. Remember those swaddling clothes? Behold, check this out. Don't miss it. See, John the Baptist, he made a bold declaration. And it's found in John 1:9. As time has passed and Jesus grew up, he didn't stay a baby. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. And this is what John said. He said, hey, everybody, listen up, right? Because he used our word, the Greek one, I do. Behold, here he is. You're not going to believe this. We've heard about it. There he is. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And everyone in his audience would have stopped dead in their tracks because, really, we've heard about him, the Lamb of God. And they would have known what it meant because they lived in a time where there was this sacrificial system and they were under rule of the Romans and they wanted someone to come and rescue them. Because of sin, there is death. The process God had set up in the temple was that an animal could die in our place. An animal could die instead of a person. It would take our place. And it was a brutal, disgusting reminder of the high price of sin. Sin causes death. And every year, these people, they would celebrate to remember the Passover from years ago, when God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt. Right? If you remember the story, maybe you've seen it in the cartoon or in the movies, and that final plague when the angel of death passed over, and the firstborn in every household was required to die to pay for the sins of that family. And what they did was they took blood from a lamb and they painted it on the doorposts and the header. And the angel of death would pass over. Whoever didn't have that blood covering their doorposts, that family lost their firstborn. And what they were told to do was to take a lamb and kill it. And they would take a hyssop branch and they would dip it in the blood from that lamb and they would paint it on their doorframe. And this in the Old Testament was a picture of the cross, an image of the blood of Jesus shed for our sins. And those who are covered with that kind of blood, they would be spared. Their lives would be saved. And here we have Jesus grown up and John the Baptist saying, pay attention, behold, here he is. Not just the Lamb, but the Lamb of God who will be slain for the sins of the world. If we fast forward to the end of the Bible, Revelation 5:12 says this, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb Jesus who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Behold Jesus, the baby, the Christ child who was born to die. Behold Jesus, the Lamb of God. Well, I want to move on to another picture of Jesus, and I hope you'll get this. Behold, check it out, Jesus the man. Jesus the human. John chapter 19, verse 5. In front of Pontius Pilate, Scripture says, then Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said to them, this is Pilate's words, okay? He said, behold the man. Jesus miraculously was all God and all man at the same time. He was God in human form. He was God in the flesh. But he wasn't an ordinary man. You see, this man was God, and he was so full of God's love and compassion. His compassion was so great that the Bible describes compassion as an ache from the deepest part within a person. And when Jesus saw people, he would just bleed with compassion. Right? The lepers. Those that were considered outcasts in society. No one would go near them. Jesus would reach out and touch them. That was the kind of man that he was. He was the one who would see blind eyes and he would heal them. And even today, you ask people, when you think of Jesus, you think of this guy that's surrounded by little children. He was the one who would befriend prostitutes. And he talked to people no one else would talk to. He was the one that was so loving. Pages are stuck together. So loving to those who were so different that the religious people couldn't even stand him. Behold, Jesus, the man who was obedient to God, even to death. And he took lashings for us, for our sins, that we could be healed. And then they pierced his hands and his feet and they put him on a cross. And when creation was mocking the Creator on the cross, he looks up to his Father in heaven and he says, Father, forgive them. Compassion. When he could have called legions of angels and destroyed anyone attacking him with just a spoken word, he prayed for forgiveness. And Pilate said, behold, Jesus, the man, the one who, according to Isaiah 53:5, he was pierced for our transgression, crushed for our sins, our iniquities. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And if we read it further, Isaiah 53:6, it says this, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. What child is this? Behold, check this out. Don't miss Jesus Christ. Behold, pay attention. There he is. Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world. But behold, Jesus, the man who endured the pain of the cross, being obedient to God even to death, and is rising again by the power of God, and alive and interceding for us with the Holy Spirit here. Still God is with us. Behold, you need to hear this. There is more about Jesus that we need to know. So behold, who is Jesus? Who is this child? He's also the soon returning king. This is what he said in Revelation 22:12. He said, "And behold," check this out, I hope you're paying attention, "behold, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all the people according to their deeds." Jesus said this, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. See, when Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, he came as a lowly servant, born in a manger. And when he returns again, the whole world will see. John prophesied it in Revelation 19:11, and he said this, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is named Faithful and True. With justice, how's that for a word for us today? With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head he has many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself, because he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepresses of the fury with the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has written the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Behold. Check this out. Time is short. We look around us. We see the pain. We see the world. We see the wars and the tragedy. We see famine, moral depravity. We look at economic downturns. And Jesus says, behold, time is short. It's short. Behold, there is soon a coming king. One day the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And those other believers who are left will be caught up with him in the air. Behold, the alarm. Feel the warning. Time is short. Behold, there's a soon coming king. We start with Jesus, the little baby in the manger. Behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold, Jesus, the man who took it all for us. Behold, Jesus, the soon coming king. And my favorite, by far, who is this child? Behold, Jesus, the one who wants to share his life with you. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, right? Check this out. I do hear this, hine. Don't miss it. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And I'm here and I'm knocking. And if you hear my voice and you let me in, then I will come in. Behold, I am here. Behold, if you let me in, I will show you this unconditional love of God. But behold, if you let me in, I will show you the peace that passes all understanding. Behold, if you let me in, I will bring you a joy that is unspeakable. Behold, if you let me in, I will bring healing that you've never known. Behold, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Behold, I am here. Are you listening? Pay attention. Behold, check it out. Jesus is the soon returning king, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. And I'm so concerned that there are people around the world who play Christmas and they miss the risen Christ. Behold, Jesus, the Son of God. Who is this child? He's the Christ child, born to die. He's the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. He's the God-man who endured brutal pain on a cross for our sins. He's the soon returning King, and he's the one who right now is standing and knocking on the door of our hearts, begging us to let him come in. Who is this child? It's Christ the Lord. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. God, may we experience you. May we experience Jesus this Christmas. May we know your life and know your resurrecting power. As we pause before maybe the busiest week of the year, God, help us to hear you, feel you, understand you. And as we continue to pray, I want to get real honest for a moment, and I want to deal with some real stuff. Many of us here are believers, but we've been so busy. And it's just natural that we've not stopped to worship the Savior. Is that you? Be honest with yourself. I've been busy. I haven't really stopped. What I want you to do is I want you to take this next moment, right where you are. Your seat is now an altar of worship before God. And just as you pray, right where you are, would you take that moment and would you see Jesus? Would you see him by faith and worship him? Maybe even in your own words right now, right where you are. Behold, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, we worship you. Behold Jesus, the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. The Lamb of God, we worship you. Behold Jesus, God and man, suffering and dying on the cross, raised again to defeat death, hell and sin in the grave. God, Jesus, we worship you. Behold, Jesus, the soon coming King of Kings. We worship you. And behold, Jesus, who stands at the door and knocks and knocks and knocks. And when we turn away, you come and you knock again. And we turn away and you knock again. Jesus, we worship you. Second, there are some of you here who would recognize that Jesus is not the one that is leading your life. Right? He's there, but he's not leading. He's knocking and he wants in. And the good news is that there are those of you that God has ordained. That's a big word, ordained for you to be here in this moment. Because you're going to hear some good news. I want to tell you that good news. Behold, God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, that you would believe in him so you wouldn't perish and you could have eternal life with him and his family. Behold, this is the good news. Behold, God wants to give you a gift today. This is the gift that you can't buy and you can't put it under a tree. You can't work for it. It's a gift of eternal life. It comes only by grace through faith in this Savior, this Jesus, the risen one, the King of Kings. And today I know there's people sitting here, and if you're really honest, you'd admit it. You know what? I'm not walking with God. I can sense he wants in, and today I want to let him in. So, Jesus, would you come in? Jesus, would you forgive me? And when you pray that, the scripture is very clear. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how dark your life has been. At that moment, you're totally forgiven. You're changed. You become new. You'll be one of those people like around the world who say, he's changed my life. And you can experience his life, his forgiveness, his freedom, his power. and you choose to walk differently from this day forward, living for Christ. So if you're sitting there and you're like, yes, yes, this is my time. I want to put my yes on the table. He's knocking and I'm saying, yes, Jesus, come in. Jesus, come in. I'll give all of my life to you. Don't just save me, but be the Lord of my life. Don't just be on my itinerary. Don't fit in the margins of my life. Be my everything. I surrender my whole life to you. Jesus, I worship you. If that's your prayer, would you lift up your hand? Would you be bold and say, no, I'm going to stand for this? Lift them up and leave them for a minute. I want to meet you eye to eye. Can we pray for these people together? It's just everyone. Would you pray it out loud with me? Heavenly Father, would you save me from my sins? I believe Jesus died for me so that I could live for you. Take every bit of my life. Transform me. Thank you for new life. Now you can have all of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Behold, Christ the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God with us. God with us. We worship him. We worship him. To close, I want us to talk about this. I think it's wonderful to learn something, to grow together, but I need to get it out. If I don't get it out, then it just gets bottled in there and lost in all of the other thoughts. So if we could break into our groups of 6 to 8 people again, And especially for you church folks who know this routine, here's the question I have for you today. Would you pray together with those around you? What is the Holy Spirit telling you to pay attention to in your life? That word behold, hine, I do. What is God in this still, quiet, whispering voice because he's close? In the bottom of that valley where we work hard to live our lives. In the middle of that desert when we're all alone. What is he whispering to you? And saying, pay attention to this. Correct this. Change this. Share this. Live this. What is he calling you to? So if you talk about it, share that in your group. And then pray for each other. Because living it out is the difficult part. Amen? Amen. Okay, have fun with that, and we will see you on Christmas Eve, the candlelight service, with all your wonderful families.